I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to John chapter 10. My message this morning is you believe not because. I've been in conversations with men, talking to them, or they'll ask me a question. The reputation of this church has gone out, some of it good, some of it bad. He's gone out around here in this local area. And usually I'm hit with questions like these. Do you believe in predestination? I said, well, I believe it's a biblical doctrine. I believe it's stated in the Bible. Well, I don't believe in predestination because. And they'll go on and on and on. Or they'll say something about God's absolute sovereignty. Do you believe that God is sovereign over all things? Yes, sir, I believe. Well, I don't believe that because. Well, I don't believe in election because. And in our text this morning, our Lord looked at those Jews and he said, you don't believe because. And he tells them why they don't believe. And there are several places here in John, if you'll read through this, building up to this chapter, where he tells them why they don't believe. They sought honor of men instead of honor from God. He said, that's why you don't believe. How can you believe? If you believe Moses, you'd believe me. You don't believe because you didn't believe Moses' testimony. And on and on and on he goes and tells them why they didn't believe. The Lord Jesus Christ tells these very religious men why they did not believe and why his disciples did. In as plain a language, there's not a child in this church this morning who can't understand this reason that he tells them. John chapter 10, let's read this, beginning with verse 24. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Tell us plainly. Now listen to this. Jesus answered, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. You know anybody can raise the dead? Huh? Y'all know anybody around can raise the dead? You know anybody around that can say to a leper, be thou clean, and he can walk away clean? That's hard to explain away, ain't it? In spite of the works he did, the works which God did by him in your midst, Peter said, which ye yourselves also know. You saw Lazarus come out of that tomb. That's when they threw the hands up. They said, if somebody don't stop him, we're going to lose everything. We're going to lose our job. We're going to lose our title. We're going to lose our religion. We're going to lose everything. Somebody got to put an end to him. You can't compete with that. Huh? He said, I told you. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. Verse 26, but you believe not because, here it is, you're not my sheep. Boy, that's tough, ain't it? Huh? You're not my sheep. As I said unto you, and that's, if you want to see when he said it, all you got to do is go back to the beginning of this chapter. He tells him. He says it before. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. They're not strangers to me. I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, if words means anything at all, this text of Scripture tells you as plainly as you can be told, that faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is the one true identifying mark of God's elect. You believe not because you're not my sheep. My sheep believe. My sheep hear. My sheep follow. Huh? My sheep have everlasting life. Now, if you're here this morning and you don't believe in the election of God, you need to buy a Bible. And what's better than that, you need to read it. You need to read it. You can't deny election. Election's from one end of this book to the other. How in the world did Abraham get to be the father of faith? He's over there in Mesopotamia, over there building idols in his father's workshop. Building idols. He was an idol worshiper. Well, how'd he get to be the father of faith? God chose him. How many times did he tell you that in the Old Testament? Over and over and over and over. Word of God plainly declares that God the Father chose a people in Christ to save them from their sins for the glory of His name. And let me tell you something. Even these false prophets who stood here before the Lord demanding answers from the Lord of glory believed in election. Yes, they did. These Jews believed that they were God's elect. They believed that every son of Abraham who was ever born was a child of God by God's own choosing, over and over and over. Why is it so easy to believe that election is all right when it talks about a nation, but it's not all right when it talks about an individual? What's the difference? You mean to tell me you're more comfortable with it? What if God didn't choose America? God just dumped them in the river. And he may be doing that very thing. Huh? Boy, that'd get you upset, wouldn't it? They believed every son of Abraham was a child of God by God's own choosing. And I'll tell you something else. This world right now, believes that Israel, that little nation over there in the Middle East, are the elect of God. People who don't know anything at all about this Bible, you go up and talk to them about, oh, that's God's chosen people. The leaders of nations that are not Christian nations are so scared that that's God's elect. He put such a stamp of fear into this world with what he did in Egypt, this world has never gotten over it. And in their mind, that's God's chosen people. Elect. And actually, this is how most people try to get around the doctrine of election in the Scriptures. They said it only applies to the Jew. But that can't possibly be. I'm going to shoot that bubble down to you in several ways this morning. First of all, I'm going to shoot it down right here. Listen to this. It can't possibly be because here in our text, the ones to whom he is speaking are Jews. Is that right? And the Jews gathered around him and began to demand from him these things. This was the leaders. This was the uppity-ups. This is those who stood for that nation. This was the high council. They stood there before the Lord demanding answers from him. And here's what he said. You believe not because you're not of my sheep. Well, that blows that Abraham thing down, don't it? They weren't his sheep. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians was written to a church primarily made up of Gentile believers. He reminds them of that over in the second chapter, saying in verse 11, he said, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh called uncircumcision." They were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. Is that enough? This epistle wasn't written to Jews, it was written to Gentiles. Is there any doubt in anybody's mind here this morning that this book was written to Gentiles? Anybody got any doubt? It's written to Gentiles. Ephesians. All right, let's see what you got to say to it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now, I want you just to pause there for just a minute. When God gave His Son to His people, He gave them everything. Everything. Can you see that in that verse? He hath blessed us, God the Father, blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When He gave His Son, He gave everything. If God, Paul tells us back there in Romans chapter 8, he said, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all that?" Huh? If he gave you his son, he gave it all to you. He gave it all. All spiritual blessings are inclusive in the giving of His Son. All right, now watch this. According, all these blessings, and the very Son of God, He's the substitute, He's the Redeemer, He's the Messiah, He's the hope. According as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Ain't that what that says? That can't be right. That's what it says. Here's why. That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And that's the only way you can be that way. Is to be in Him. In Him. Would you want a big TV screen, if they had such an apparatus, to reveal your love for Christ and show it on screen? Huh? You'd crawl out here on your knees. Yeah, you would. You wouldn't want that, would you? Huh? It's the only way you can stand before Him in love, is to stand before Him in Christ. Now, I'm not saying that believers don't have a love for Christ. They do. But they repent of it. Huh? They repent of their love. But they don't repent of His. And our Lord sits right now at the right hand of God in perfect love, and I'm seated with Him. I'm seated with Him. Watch this. Verse 5. Having predestinated us. Now, I'd shoot that telescope of time theory all to pieces. God looked down through the telescope of time and He'd see who would and wouldn't choose Him, who would and wouldn't live a life honoring to Him and all that garbage. This just blows that plum out of the saddle. Listen to this. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to what He'd see us do in time. No, that's not what that says. Not what that says. According to the good pleasure of His will. and to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now let me show you another passage over here in Acts chapter 13. Turn over there with me. Paul and Barnabas was over here in Antioch. And they were preaching. And the Jews were there. There was a large number of Jews in Antioch. And Paul was a Jew. A lot of times he began his ministry by going into the synagogue and preaching to them. And he began to preach there. And these Jews, the scripture said, they compass sea and earth to make proselytes like unto them. And they get these strangers and they convert them over into under the Jewish religion, and they'd have them circumcised, all the men have them circumcised and all this stuff. They get them, they make proselytes. We do the same thing. Do the same thing in our day. They're going around making proselytes, just like them. And our Lord said, when you made them, they're twofold more the child of hell than you were. Those who make these proselytes. But Paul and Barnabas were preaching in Antioch, and these proselytes begin to see the folly of their ways. They begin to see what was going on and what this true Jew was all about. Paul was preaching to them, telling them what the true Jew was, what these things are all about, showing them how that Christ fulfilled all these Old Testament types. He fulfilled the priesthood. That was just a type. That was just a figure. All these things that they were observing, these things were just shadows and pictures and types. And boy, these proselytes got interested. They got interested. And those Jews were envious. And they got stirred up in their heart. And so they come down and they called Paul and Barnabas aside and began to criticize them and treat them, you know, spitefully. And finally, Paul said, verse 46, it was necessary. It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, I turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. Huh? They'd been told nobody's going to be saved but Jews. Paul said, that just ain't so. That just ain't so. They was glad and they glorified the word of the Lord. They saw how this thing could be according to the word of God. Now hang on to your hat. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. What? These are Gentiles. You mean God ordained Gentiles to eternal? That's exactly what I mean. You can't take election and make it apply to the Jewish nation. It's utterly impossible. Utterly impossible. God has a people whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Now somebody's going to say, well, you mean if we truly repent and believe that if I'm not elect, I can't be saved? No, that's not what I'm preaching at all. Not what I'm preaching at all. I'm saying that nobody but God's elect will. That's what I'm saying. You have to be given the gift of faith. It ain't on the shelf. You can't go, well, I think I'll get me some faith. Go over to the pantry and take it off the shelf. It's not in the potential of a human to believe. You don't believe that, do you? You don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you this. You get you a Bible and you get alone. You get alone in a closet and you read that Bible. Man can believe. That's a bunch of poppycock. That's exactly what that is. Let me tell you something. Those Jews studied the scriptures from front to back. They knew the scripture sideways, upside down and backwards. They knew wherever comma, wherever period. They knew the word that was capitalized and when it wasn't capitalized. They knew every jot and tittle. They transcribed the scriptures. And he told them, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, but you will not come to me that you might have life. Why not? Because you're under sin. You're dead. You're dead. You ain't going to believe anything. You're not going to see anything. You're not going to hear anything unless God sends His Spirit and gives you life. That's when you'll believe. And I tell you, to whom He sends His Spirit, His elect. That's it. You believe not because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. They hear my voice. Let me tell you something. Over in Romans chapter 3, He gives us four nuns. Four nuns. And these four nuns shoot down any and all hope in man's work and man's potential. Listen to this. There's none righteous. How many? None. Listen to this. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. And there's none good. Now I'm telling you, you take those four laws, those four declarations, and you've just shot down every religion in this country. There ain't going to be a handful left. Because everything they preach depends on man's understanding. Depends on man's righteousness. Depends on man's goodness. There's a little bit of good in all men. No, there ain't. There's none good. None good. Isaiah said He hath given us beauty for ashes. You know what ashes mean? The fire went out. I was raised with an old wood stove. And I tell you, you get up in the morning up in northern Ohio and it's about 20 below zero. And man, you just shivering. You're under three or four quilts and you finally get up enough courage to get up and see what's going on. You open that stove door and there ain't nothing there but ashes. Means the fire went out. The fire went out in man when Adam fell. Gone. Gone. Ain't no need to appeal to hell. He never, never, all the way, not in all the pictures in the Old Testament, He never pictures man with any potential. When He talks about this thing of preaching, when He prophesies to that future gospel age, when Christ shall come and ascend into heaven, send His Spirit to the earth, and send out His messengers to pray. He never, here's what He does. He took old Ezekiel out there in the desert and He said, what do you see? He looked around and He said, all I see is bones. Huh? What's He talking about in? He's talking about this future day of preaching. He said, can them bones live? Can they? Oh, Lord God, Thou knowest. That's the only answer there is. All right. God said, preach to them. Preach to them. They did it. Preach to them. Prophesy to them. To bones? To bones. To dead men? To dead men. What am I going to tell them? Live. Live. He didn't say tell them come down an aisle. He didn't tell them change your theology. Told them to live. That's first. Our Lord said, you believe not, because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. How'd they get it? He gave it to them. He gave it to them. God chose His people. He knew their helplessness, their hopelessness, their poverty, and their ignorance. He knew what kind of shape we'd be in, under sin, under the dominion of it, the influence of it, the lust of it, the possession of it, the bondage of it. Well, don't election violate man's free will? It would if he had one. But his will ain't free. If there's none that understandeth, then your will is in bondage to your ignorance, isn't it? Here it is. If there's none righteous, then your will is in bondage to your ungodliness. If there's none that seeketh after God, then their will is in bondage to false religion, and they walk in the vanity of their minds. And if there's none good, then our wills are in bondage to evil. All of Adam's race is under sin. And being under sin, nothing has any effect on him at all. Not the scriptures, not preaching, not even the Son of God has an effect on a man who's under sin. Not till God himself gives him life. Nothing. Them Jews wasn't affected. He said, here's condemnation. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. All of Adam's race are under sin, and being under sin, nothing has any effect on him at all. Not conscience, not creation, nothing. I want you to listen to me. Election not only singles out a man for mercy, but it's inseparably connected with all the means to save him to the uttermost. You can't separate election over here in the corner somewhere and then forget about the rest of it. It's all connected. I don't preach a gospel that saves unwilling rebels who won't bow to the Word of God, the way of God, the Son of God, or the means of God. I don't preach a gospel that saves men no matter what. That's ignorant. I preach a gospel that is inclusive of all things, to make him willing to turn them from their sins, to give them an appetite for the gospel, to make them willing bond slaves in Christ and sanctify their walk in this world. It's all inclusive. It's all connected. And nobody, I don't care how smart he is, how humble he is, how clever he is, how good he is, nobody will ever believe the gospel except those chosen of God. And those who believe, everything else follows. It follows. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. I want you to listen to this. Turn over with me. I quote it all the time, but let's read it. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. God offering thanks to these people in the light of that Antichrist spirit who through the ages gets stronger, stronger and stronger, and all those influenced by him, those evil men and seducers, are going to wax worse and worse. And in those days, he said, nobody's going to endure sound doctrine. They're not going to have it. These things are growing, and men under the influence of that Antichrist spirit, they're not going to receive the love of the gospel that they might be saved, and God's going to send them strong delusion and let them believe whatever they want to. Let them swallow it hook, line, and sinker, die in their sins. But he said, I thank God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord. Huh? You see where he's coming from now in his prayer? Because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation, listen, through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Whereunto, he said, he called you by our gospel. Isn't that something? All connected. All connected. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't have the first part without the last part, and you can't have the last part without the first part. Well, I'm saved, but I don't believe in election. You can't have the last part without the first part, and the first part without the last part. It's all connected. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Here's another introduction. He said, we're elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's all connected, all inclusive, all of God and all of grace. And every man that hears must be born again. Every man that hears must hear from God's messenger. Every man that hears must be broken, made obedient. Every man that hears must repent and turn to God. Every man that hears must be made willing in the day of God's power. And every man that hears will follow the Lord. Can you see that? I know what men are all about. I can tell you things this morning, make you blush. That's right, make you ashamed. I've listened to Henry sometime talking about sinners. And, boy, I just want to crawl out of the place. I didn't want to talk to anybody or anything. I just want to leave. Things that will make you angry. Man's nothing but a wiggling maggot, feeding on the corruption of his own flesh. Just a maggot. He revels in it, rejoices in it. Job said he drinks iniquity like water. And I wouldn't waste my time talking to anybody if I did not believe that God has willed by an unchangeably sovereign and gracious will to save somebody for his glory. I wouldn't waste my time. And that's all it is. God himself has engaged all things to accomplish this very thing. Now listen to me. In Christ, he said, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God rested on the seventh day because he turned all things over into the hands of a sovereign mediator. And no man can take anything out of the hands of Christ or cause anything the Father has purposed to fail, because they're one and nobody can pluck them out of his hands. Who's going to take you out of his hands? Problem is, you've never seen yourself in his hands. Huh? You've seen yourself in your own hands. I do this, and I do that, and I do this, and I can learn this, and I can go here, and I can do... That ain't it. I'm telling you, that ain't it. You want to know the gospel? You go home and turn on any Arminian preacher there is in this country, and you get you a piece of paper, and everything that man says, you write down the opposite, and you have the gospel. Am I telling the truth? That's the truth. You know what the scripture says? They've gone away backwards. Huh? Backwards. That's right. Everything they do, backwards. Now, with these things in mind, let me just go briefly over the words of our Lord here in John chapter 10. He said, you believe not because you're not of my sheep. What's he saying when he said that? He's saying that everything from election clear through to the end, what he's talking about. He ain't just talking about they wasn't chosen of God. He's talking about all, I told you, you can't separate these things. What he's saying is there's no inward working of the Spirit, taking the things of Christ and showing them unto you. I told you plainly. You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. My words are spirit, he said back there when they're all leaving. My words are spirit, and they're alive. no inward working of the Spirit, taking the things of Christ and showing them unto you. They're no subjection to God's ministers or the message. They didn't respect him at all. They're no revelation of their sin or their inability. There's no being shut up to the sovereign mercy and grace of God. They were standing before the Son of God in whom God's pure glory shined. The brightness of the Father's glory. And they didn't see anything. Demanding from him. We'll demand of you. You tell us plainly. I told you. Told you. And no being shut up to the word of God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. You believe not because you're not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. What in the world is that talking about? We go home and lay down in the bed. We've heard the gospel and we go home and lay down in the bed and then we weigh around to hear the voice of Christ. Is that what he's saying here? Does he just whisper in our ears? Is that what it is? What in the world is he talking about? My sheep hear my voice. Well, he means two things. He means, first of all, the Word of God. The Word of God is the testimony of God concerning His Son. You read about it over in 1 John chapter 5. This is my testimony that I've given eternal life to my sheep. And this life is in my Son. He that hath Son hath life, he that hath not. To believe not this testimony is to call God a liar. Talking about the Word of God, the message of Christ. Turn with me to Luke chapter 10. And here's the second thing. It means the voice of his chosen ambassador who has preached the gospel of Christ to him. In this case, it was Christ himself. Now watch this here in Luke chapter 10, verse 16. He's sending out these 70 preachers, sending them out to preach. He that heareth you, heareth me. Oh, that's how we hear his voice. And that's how you hear it not, too. That's how you hear it not. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. That's how you hear his voice. Listen to this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house, or out of that city, shake off the dust off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it'll be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now watch this, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now this thing of election is not just being chosen of God, but it's being chosen unto salvation through the effectual working of the Holy Ghost through gospel preaching. That's how it comes. I've read you so many scriptures this morning. How many times God have said something for it to be so? But I've given you several scriptures this morning. And then watch this. Here's some more of his words here in John chapter. He said, I give unto them eternal life. What's that mean? That means to know God. To know God. John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou sent. That's eternal life. I give that to them. How come you know all of the attributes of God, and rejoice in them. And the first guy you tell won't have nothing to do with you. Why is it? Because you have eternal life. That's why. You have eternal life. That's what eternal life is to know God. I mean, you know Him. Ain't nobody going to move you off that. Somebody going to convince you God ain't sovereign, you that believe the... Ain't no way. Ain't no way. And they can talk about the philosophies of chin and all this other garbage they won't bring up. I'm telling you, you ain't moving me off this. I know God. And that's why religion is a bunch of poppycock. Exactly why it is. Because it's so contrary to God. I know God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, we know that the Son of God has come and given to us an understanding that we may know Him that's true, that we're in Him that's true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. My sheep hear my voice. They hear my gospel. They hear my messenger. They hear my message. And I know them. I know who they are. We've got this seal. God knoweth them that are His. That's it. He knows it. I know them. And they follow me. They believe on, rejoice in, and rest in Christ. They walk in, look to, and hope in Christ. They feed on and worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And they persevere in Christ. They're rooted and built up in Him, Paul said, established in the faith and abound with thanksgiving. I give unto them eternal life. Now watch this. They're never going to perish. Oh, my. What about when my mind goes? What about when my mind goes and I can't remember my own name? Georgia Faye told me one time Amos woke up and said, what are you doing here? What are you doing in my house? What about when my mind goes? What about when I don't know who I am? What about when I forget? I forget. I can't remember what I read. They'll never pass. Huh? They'll never perish. But what about when sin and the old corrupter gets inside and draws me away and I fall like David? And he gets his way like he did with Solomon. What then? They'll never perish. But what about when things happen? And those you depend on and those you love and they're taken out of this world or sickness and all of these things come about and they're just ripping you to pieces and the economy and all. And never perish. Never perish. But what about when my whole family turns against me? Won't have nothing to do with me. Won't listen to nothing I... They'll never perish. Huh? Never perish. Somebody told me one time, said, yeah, I know no man can pluck you out of his hand, but you can pluck yourself. Yeah, he probably could out of the hand of his God, but you ain't going to pluck yourself out of the living God's hand. No man going to pluck you out of my hand. Boy, I tell you, in the beginning, it scared me to death to think about myself in His hand. Right now, there's nowhere I'd rather be. You see that? That's what He's telling them. That's what salvation is. It's to be in the hands of Him who can't do wrong. He can't do wrong. He can't do it. It's an impossibility. It ain't in His character. He can't do wrong. And everything I do is. Preacher, how can you preach so dogmatic on the salvation of a sinner? What makes you so sure about that fixed end? Are you listening to me? Because no man can pluck you out of his hand. That's why. I don't have confidence in my confidence. I don't have confidence in my faith. I got confidence in him. That's what Paul said. He was persuaded that he was able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. That's confidence in Christ. Confidence in Christ. You don't have confidence in Christ, you need to study Christ. See who he is. See who he is. And I tell you, you'll buried it first. You mean he can do it? Yeah, he can do with you whatever he will. But I tell you, his will is better than yours. It's better than yours. His will ain't in bondage. And he can do his will. You can't even do yours.